Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jenna Dorn. Jenna is the administrator of the Federal Transit Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel.
Jenna, the 2004 budget was recently announced. Can you give us some general highlights of the budget and how it compares to your budget in previous years?
You know, I'm really pleased by the good news for public transit in FY 2004 budget as proposed by the President, especially in light of the many critical and costly challenges facing this country. This budget keeps our commitment to public transit by sustaining the record level of funding that was present in the 2003 budget. And I think it's really useful to give a perspective. Over the last 6 years, the federal investment in public transportation has grown by 25%, and that's terribly good news in my view, because these investments have been have provided so many benefits to the community. In terms of other increases within the Federal Transit Administration, I'm pleased that the rural transit program will grow by 20%. I think that's really important because there are about 40% of our rural counties who have no public transportation. And if you were to take all of the rural communities together and determine how many are choice riders versus those who have no choice, about one-third of the people in rural communities across America are transit dependent. So that 20% budget increase for rural transit is, I think, a really important and responsible step.
In your budget request, you have some very clear priorities. Can you talk about the four main goals of the FTA?
Well, I think the goals really reflect what taxpayers need and want and expect. And there are just a couple of fundamental principles. First of all, common sense transit solutions. We want to give states and communities the freedom and the flexibility to solve their own transit challenges in terms of determining where and how those investments should be made. That's always been the federal philosophy, really, in terms of transportation, particularly public transportation, that federal investments are appropriate, but local decisions need to be made because of the wide diversity in geography, in culture, in preference, in economic base, et cetera. So we want to make sure that there is we can simplify and streamline our programs to get the most transit service for the dollar. Over the years, a number of different requirements have grown up. They're not always valuable, and so we want to streamline the programs, and we know that funding categories and restrictions shouldn't get in the way of common sense transit solutions. Ironically, and Secretary Mineta has often mentioned this to me, one of the worst things that can happen is that a community's decision about what kind of investments to make in public transportation are skewed by the pots of money. In other words, oh, I really would like to do a bus rapid transit sort of investment, but there is only money for a light rail or fixed guideway. So therefore, I'll modify my merit-based program and try to fit it into the confines of how we've built the funding pot. So that we think doesn't really make sense. Another important principle is really A-plus performance. That's both within FTA, our responsibility, and also in all of our transit agencies and service providers across the country. We want to provide improvement where it matters the most, and that's in getting more riders to more locations with less overlap in service. So we have some performance-based incentives that we discussed earlier to encourage an emphasis on ridership, and we want to encourage cooperation and coordination with a number of transit-related programs that are occurring in the community. We want to make sure that all of those make sense and they perform well. The third principle is really promoting independence and economic opportunity, and that's what public transit is all about. As I mentioned before, it really transit can be a lifeline for many groups, including people with disabilities, the elderly, and low income, and our programmatic changes are designed to make it easier to make communities serve those kinds of needs. We also think it's pretty important that because there are so many needs out there in terms of public transportation, and our investments are generally keeping up with those needs, that it's important that those funds be delivered by formula rather than, forgive me for saying it, but many of the programs delivered by earmarking. And we think that the more flexibility we can provide to local communities by formula, the better that is. We in some cases, for example, we have only half the urbanized areas who get bus money. Yet the whole country needs bus money because half the urbanized areas get earmarks. And so we think it's really important to emphasize that piece. The last piece is our keeping our commitment means staying on target to improve transit infrastructure and maintaining record levels of funding for public transportation and making sure that we continue the long-held commitment that there is a significant role of the federal government in providing investments for these kinds of services.
How are you linking budget and performance?
Well, we have a ways to go in that in terms of our programmatic efforts, and I think we've made a significant first step in introducing people-based performance incentives for part of our formula program. And I think that will have long-term, wide-ranging impacts to encourage all of our transit agencies that the number one focus is increasing ridership. If we want to get all the benefits for public transportation and for, you know, decreasing congestion and helping the environment and reducing energy consumption, we got to get people out of their cars and onto public transportation. And we recognize very fully that we need a partnership. We're not car bashing because we need that partnership with the highway, with the highways and transit, but we need more ridership on public transportation. I guess I would just say linking the budget to performance also, I'm very proud that the Federal Transit Administration has a very aggressive and value-added oversight program so that when we make a federal investment in transit, we are sure, or as sure as we can be, that that investment will pay off, that we'll be on time, on budget, and in the number of, we have many, many major infrastructure projects that we're building throughout the country, from helping New York in terms of recovery after the terrorist attack and their $4.5 billion subway and transit reconstruction program, to helping communities in California and all in between who have light rail or bus rapid transit technology programs. And so we keep a very tight rein to make sure that these are value-added investments, and I believe in very large part, they are.
The president has made very clear through his management agenda the need to make management improvements across the federal government. How are you working to implement management improvements in the FTA in particular?
The Secretary and the President have taken this piece very seriously. And as you mentioned, Dave, the President's management agenda is very results-oriented, customer-focused, citizen-centered, and we've taken that to heart. About a year ago, our senior management team at FTA developed a strategic business plan to guide our work. It identified a number of major goals and 16 specific action items. We've been very focused with regular meetings, not about process, but about outcomes, and we want to be really focused on that. And I think that the taxpayer will be better for our focus on the outcomes. And as a management team, we've stepped up to the plate by agreeing to be held jointly accountable for four specific measurable accomplishments. And if we don't meet those, including one of them, meaning increasing ridership in areas across the country, if we don't meet them, then our performance bonus is depends on that success. So I think that's a very important piece. And we have increased emphasis on cost effectiveness in our projects. We want to do a better job of assessing the risks, whether we're tunneling in Seattle and for a major light rail project, or we're building a bus rapid transit guideway. We want to understand better going in what kind of risks there are, and then be able to hold ourselves accountable to the bottom line, the budget, and the costs and the benefits as well.
We've talked quite a bit this morning about reauthorization. Can you tell us more about the president's reauthorization proposal for FTA?
Sure. First of all, we have an underlying foundation of what's called T21, which was the initial or the second phase of investment in public transportation. We think that foundation is very solid, and we have learned a lot. What we want to do is kind of tweak that and make some fundamental improvements. And the second piece is the predictability of those funds. What we have found is that the more that the state and local governments understand that there will be a long-term commitment at dollar level X for investments, the more they will invest. And in fact, over the past 10 years, state and local investment has grown even more because there is that certainty, that predictability that 3 years from now, they're going to have this dollar amount. That allows communities to make longer-term investments. And as I'm sure you would know, investments in transit and public transportation and transportation generally, many of them have to be longer-term. Another piece is local flexibilities so that we don't have to follow pots of money with particular requirements, but in fact, the locals can determine what they need. And lastly, we think it's really important the more we can streamline the programs and remove burdens or burdensome requirements from the grantees, the better our dollar will perform locally.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Jenna Dorn of the FTA. What's the FTA's role in the post-9/11 era? We'll ask Jenna to give us her perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.